Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. You may be seated. How many of you ate too much, got too much, and spent too much? Yeah, me too. If we haven't met, my name is Vance, and it's an honor to be with you. Pastor Leonard is with family today and sends his love. Can y'all believe that 2025 is almost over? It is coming to an end, and 2026 is right around the corner. It's here. Well, I'm praying and hoping and believing, just as Miguel talked about, that this year is a year of breakthrough. Amen. That's what we're talking about this morning, is alignment leads to breakthrough. And part of how we do that and how breakthrough comes is when we surrender ourselves. And as a church body, coming up in the beginning of January, on January 4th, we're going to start a 21-day fast. How many of you have ever fasted before? Okay, that's great. Well, if you haven't, or if you have, this is a great time to jump in on 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why do we do that? It's so that corporately, together, and individually, that we can start the year by saying, God, we're honoring you. We're surrendering everything to you because he's worthy. Amen? Amen. He is. So I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't done it, jump in. And today we're really talking about fasting and what that does. I want to tell you a story and help me. I brought an axe. And I got to tell you, there's nothing that makes you feel more manly than holding a full-size axe. Just want to grunt. Ugh. There were two lumberjacks, one younger, one older, and they went out into the forest, and every day they would chop the wood. The younger lumberjack, he was getting a little cocky and felt like he was really getting to the swing of things. And he came to the older lumberjack one day, who'd been there for decades, was grizzled, and you could see it in his face. It was wrinkled from the sun of years of being out in those woods. And he said to the older lumberjack, and he said, I think, it's taken me a while, but I think I'm faster than you. And the old lumberjack says, you think you are, huh? He said, well, let's see about that. So the next day, they came and they decided to have a race. You see, who at the end of the day would cut down the most trees? So the younger lumberjack, with all his youth and vitality and vigor, he's just going at it, and he is just taking down tree after tree after tree. And the older, wiser lumberjack is taking his time, and every placement of the axe was with precision. The older lumberjack, he was no stranger to these young bucks that thought that they could overtake him. The younger lumberjack really felt like he had an upper hand when he noticed that the older lumberjack was taking a break every hour for 15 minutes. He thought, there's no way with this old guy, he's taking a break. He doesn't have the stamina to do this all day. But me, man, I've got the stamina. I can do this. I'm taking him down. At the end of the day, the pile of logs behind them, it was pretty clear who the winner was. The older lumberjack had cut down a third more trees than the younger lumberjack did. The younger lumberjack was so perplexed. He said, how did you do that? He said, well, while you were sweating and toiling and working so hard, every hour I took a 15-minute break to sharpen my axe. He said, you were working with a dull tool. I was working smart while you were working hard. I think for some of us, this is a great analogy to our spiritual lives. You can tell that axe has cut down some trees. Some of you in this room this morning, you need something from God. You need a breakthrough. You need divine intervention in your life, and you have been working everything you can, putting all of your energy into trying to get that breakthrough, but nothing is coming. So the problem with a lot of us, the issue isn't that believers aren't working hard for God. It's that the issue is we're working with dull spiritual tools. A lot of us working hard, we're doing right, but with dull axes, and we're wondering why the trees aren't falling. You see, this is what fasting and prayer does. It is an act of sharpening our spiritual axe. That's why we do it. So we can sharpen our axe to be a better reflection, to be more effective for God. Fasting is, it's not a hunger strike. It's not twisting God's arm. It's not a religious performance. Fasting removes dependence on the natural strength so the spiritual power can increase. What it says is we're stepping away from activity so God can increase his authority. Fasting the way that God intends raises our effectiveness and aligns us with his authority. So this is where we experience the spiritual breakthrough, increased clarity, greater authority in prayer, and alignment with God's agenda. The point is not that fasting make God stronger, but that it positions us correctly under him. When you stop relying on food and your comfort and your routine, you're declaring that God, not the natural, is your source. So fasting is preparation. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 58. And that's where we're going to be spending most of our time. By the way, I got a new preaching Bible for Christmas. I can't wait to use it. So this is the maiden voyage. So in Isaiah 58, let me give you a little bit of setup before we jump in. So this is post or after the Israelite people had been in captivity in Babylon. So they're back in Jerusalem. They're reestablishing their traditions, their way of life. They're not held captive anymore. And we know that on the 5th and the 7th month of every year for 70 years, they would fast. And they would fast commemorating the fact that they had lost their home and their king. They were fasting to seek a response and an answer to their troubles. But fasting had become regular. It was an institutionalized practice meant to provoke a divine response. But it was disconnected from ethical transformation and communal justice. In other words, they were going through the motions of it, but there was no substance. There was no heart transformation. So Isaiah the prophet, he confronts the people who are religiously sincere, but yet socially misaligned, insisting that true fasting is not ritual deprivation, but it is a covenant surrender that reshapes desire and power and relationships. So because of their social and economic sins, they're still in darkness. They haven't gotten that breakthrough. So let's look at this. We're going to look at the first two verses. Isaiah 58 says this, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for decisions and seem eager for God to come near to them." So you see there, there's this religious intensity, but there's no alignment. Their actions aren't matching what their heart posture is. It says they seek me daily, delight to know my ways. They ask for righteous judgment as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness. So what is God saying there? He's speaking through the prophet. He's saying, you people are asking me for justice. You're asking me for a breakthrough, but in your own heart, you're not acting in a just way. So how can, if you're acting this way and you're asking me to move on your behalf, but you're not honoring what I asked you to do? It seems, everything on the outside seems as if it looks a certain way. That phrase, as if, it's central. They appear aligned. They sound surrendered, but their lives contradict their worship. There's not alignment. They want God's presence without God's priorities. They practice religion as if they practice righteousness. Those two things are not the same. They want God close, but they don't want God in charge. Jesus, in Matthew 15, he actually quotes Isaiah. Matthew 15, 7, and this is Jesus. These words are in red. He says, you hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Just going through the motions. Just checking all the right boxes. You see, religion is doing things for God, but alignment is living under God. Religion is not where the breakthrough comes. I religiously brush my teeth every day. You can religiously do a lot of things. Some of you need to religiously brush your teeth every day. Doing something religiously, going through an action, doesn't yield a spiritual response. For Christmas this year, my wife asked me for this cool new thing. It's called the Spiral Bible. Ever heard of it? It's this whole Bible, it's in spiral, but they have the Bible in a year. And so I bought it for her. This is it right here. This is really nice. So this is they have the whole Bible, but this is actually the devotion for basically a 52-week journey through the entire Bible. And so I got this for her, and it wasn't cheap. And this is, you know, very nice material. It's got this hard, I mean, this is meant to last a whole year, but it's beautiful on the inside, right? This is gorgeous. I was jealous when I gave it to her. Now, to get it, I had to sign up for their emails. And I was getting emails from the Spiral Bible all the time. And anytime I went on Facebook, I'd get these little ads are like, now it's, you know, it's the Black Friday media day, only one time, only sale. You should buy this right now. And so there's one of these offers that came through. And I thought, man, this is too good to pass up. It's even cheaper than the first time that I bought it. I should buy another one for my daughter. So I'm waiting for this package, and this weird package comes to the door. And I didn't know what it was. Now, at Christmas time, you know, if your name is not on it and it comes to the door, you don't open it. But my name was on this package, but I looked at it and I thought, this ain't for me. I went over and I asked my wife, I said, do you know what this is? And she said, no, I didn't order it. Is this something for you? Well, I opened it up and I took off this little sheet, and what was in it was this. This is not real. And if you look at this, it is literally photocopied from this. Now, this is some kind of brazen thief, okay? That I'm going to take Bible studies, photocopy them, and repackage them and sell them. I got a great deal on this. Here's the thing. If this would have arrived and I hadn't seen this, and I just saw this, I might have been fooled. But I know what the real thing is supposed to be. You see, friends, I think so many times there's some of us that we walk into this building, we go through the motions, and it seems as if there's righteousness. It seems as if we are following the Lord. We're checking all the boxes, but God knows it's a counterfeit. It's not the real thing. Let's just say my wife wasn't real happy about that. Because I couldn't tell. When it came, I knew. And I couldn't tell her because I was like, hey, you remember I bought you that spiral Bible, but I fell for a scam online. And By the way, also, I just got another random charge from this fake company because apparently I signed up for a subscription to get a deal. So it just keeps on. I got to call the bank. Just be aware, okay? Listen, a church can fast sincerely and still remain self-directed. Fasting alone does not equal surrender. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed it? On the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fist. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a people to humble themselves? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes. Is this what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? See, this is false fasting. This is fake counterfeit. This is entitlement language, not humility. Why have I fasted and you haven't seen it? The breakthrough hasn't come. I did all the things. I pulled the levers, right? I rubbed the lamp and you didn't grant my wish. I put the coin in the machine and I didn't get my soda. I did the thing. Why? Because hunger without surrender is just a diet. When we fast in the natural, when we choose not to eat, we are causing hunger. We're submitting our bodies. But what God is saying is there's more here. That we've got to surrender the flesh. So in this passage, what had happened, the Israelites, fasting had become routine. It was just something that they do, and they expected it to work. Their frustration, it reveals their misplaced expectations. You see, fasting was never meant to manipulate God. It was meant to reshape people. That is the point of fasting. It is always meant to be others focused. Where we're saying, I'm not fasting for me to get. I'm fasting so that I can serve others. And so when you're doing the ritual, the routine, and expecting God to move, but yet you're still treating others like trash, why would God hear you? Covenant faithfulness always includes care for the vulnerable. True repentance reshapes how power and resources and people are treated, right? So justice is not an add-on to fasting. It's the evidence that fasting has reached the heart. In other words, your actions, it's not something that we add on. Well, I'm going to fast and now I'm going to treat people well. It's not an add-on. You don't strap it on to it. This is a result. I'm going to surrender and submit my flesh under God. I'm going to come under the alignment of Christ. And as a result, justice and the fruit of the Spirit flow from that alignment. Pastor Leonard preached last week in Romans 8. And it's so funny how God does this. I picked this passage even before I knew that he preached this last week. So this is just a good reminder for us. Romans 8, 6 through 8. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So there's alignment here, right? Our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul, our physical bodies, and our spirit. The three parts of us have to come under alignment. And often what we do is we try and bring part of that under alignment, but we want to stay in control. This is what Israel was trying to do. At the root of this, they're saying, God, I'm going to fast, but I still want to be in charge, right? He says, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. See, control is intact. You quarrel and fight. Fasting exposes the unresolved flesh. I don't know about y'all, but you're not you when you're hungry. You need a Snicker. When you are submitting the flesh, the body, things bubble up. And it's because it's removed, it's exposed, so that now I can reveal it to God and he can deal with it. Oh, one of my youth pastors growing up always used to say, God can't cover what you don't uncover. We're trying to cover it. We're trying to make do on our own. But fasting helps us reveal it and come under the alignment of Christ and submission to him. It says, only a day for people to humble themselves. This is temporary surrender, right? I'll surrender, I'll submit for a day so that I can get the breakthrough that I need. This doesn't make much sense. This is often what we do. Or we'll bargain with God. Right? How many of you have been in this position? God, if you will just provide this, I promise from this day forward, I will be a good boy. Amen. That's right. Doesn't work, man. See, they're fasting, but they're still steering. The flesh doesn't need food to survive. It needs control. So we fast our physical bodies with food, but we fast our will with control. We fast our will by saying, God, I relinquish the control to you. You see how that works? They denied food, but protected their appetites. They did what they wanted to do. They humbled their bodies, but not their wills. Fasting doesn't weaken control. Fasting that doesn't weaken control doesn't change anything. You can be hungry and still be in charge. See, the flesh screams when the throne is threatened. Paul understands what this kind of weakness brings. 2 Corinthians, you'll all be familiar with this passage. 2 Corinthians 12, 10. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Often we think about it this way. We think about that God knows about my weakness, and so God is going to supplement and be the strength in the areas that I'm weak. And that's not what this means at all. And that's not the goal of fasting. You see, when you surrendered your life to Christ, you got the full measure of God's Holy Spirit living in you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Your spirit man, the spirit in you, will never be stronger. But what fasting does is we are killing the flesh. We're removing the flesh to reveal the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. So when I am weak, when my flesh is weak, then is when I'm strongest, because it reveals the Spirit in me. Weakness isn't accidental. Weakness is chosen. The goal is not God compensating for weakness, but Christ reigning through it. What God is saying, he's saying the restoration you want cannot come through ritual alone. It comes through covenantal alignment. Breakthrough follows alignment, not performance. When the body submits, the soul listens, the spirit leads. All right, let's keep going. Verse 6. Is not the kind of fasting I have chosen, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor and the wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Again, God is doubling down here through the prophet Isaiah. He's saying, this is what I want. It's not just a spiritual ritual. You have to put this into action. God defines fasting as this. And when it happens, here's how we're going to see it. When you have beyond a physical fast, but you have a spiritual fast, look at these verbs: to loose, untie, break, release, share, bring in, clothe. Those are forceful verbs, and here's what they assume: that there's going to be resistance, bondage, grip, control. And that's what we've got to let go of. James 2, 15 through 17 says this: suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. Friends, if we are fasting and doing all the things right, but we are not serving those that God has placed in our life that have physical needs and spiritual needs, it's dead. It means nothing. Justice is not a replacement for fasting. Justice is the fruit of surrender. A fast that never leaves the self never reaches God's heart. If you're just fasting for yourself but never doing anything for others, it brings nothing. So you have to understand when he's saying to feed somebody, to us, the images we get is we'll go to a food kitchen and, you know, feeds. But for them, food, bread is survival. This is not, you know, having excess. This is, I'm giving of something. This cost me something. This is sacrificial that I have to give. Fasting without generosity preserves privilege. If it costs you nothing, you're going to gain nothing. Well, why is he talking about that? You see, for some of us, again, this is about control. And some of you, your bread is in control. I know it is for me sometimes, because that's my safety and security, is the bread that I've been given. And God is saying, if it doesn't cost you something, if you're not sacrificial, then how can you expect me to move on your behalf? This is the kind of fasting that I want to see. 1 John 3 17 says this, if anyone has material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? If there is no fruit, no action, no visible sign of sacrificing the control and serving others, your breakthrough can't come. Fasting is an attempt to align one's priorities with the will of God. And what Isaiah is calling for in this fast is not from food, but from affluence, indifference, and privilege, so that the community of faith will live in harmony. This is intentional to weaken our will, our flesh, the appetite, the control for comfort and entitlement. It has to be dethroned. Surrender doesn't force God's hand, it opens his way. Right? Again, this is about alignment. Why? Alignment leads to breakthrough. Our bodies, our wills, and our spirit coming into alignment under Christ is where the breakthrough comes. Here's what alignment with the soul, spirit, and body brings. This is the then life. Everybody say, the then life. Surrender creates alignment to the supernatural. In this passage that we're about to read, and I want you to say the thens with me. This is going to be pretty fun. There is a cause and effect here, right? We're seeing the if. If we surrender, if we lay down control, if we fast in a way that honors him and honors other, then the breakthrough comes. It made me think of the passage that you we're all very familiar with, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, there's a communal emphasis, and if God is saying, if my people, if Heart Cry Chapel will choose not to just to fast food from January 4th to January 21st, but they choose to surrender their flesh to me, then I will break through. These promises are largely corporate, not just individual. So let's look at the passage here in Isaiah. And I want you to say these thens with me, okay? Starting in verse 8, here we go. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing, what? Will, not maybe, will quickly appear. This dawn imagery, it implies inevitability, not effort. Breakthrough is sudden, it's not forced. You don't chase the dawn. You wait for it. Breakthrough doesn't arrive because you try harder. Breakthrough comes from where? Alignment. Light comes when the night no longer resists it. When there is a release. Okay, here's another then. Say it with me. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Your righteousness points you in the right direction, but God has your back. He's your rear guard. Your righteousness is guiding you forward. And God, the glory of the Lord is behind you. There's a wake of God's glory behind you, protecting you, guarding you. All right, let's do verse 9. Here we go. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing fingers and malicious talk. So the greatest promise here, did you notice this? He doesn't say your healing is going to come. He says that he's going to come. He's saying, here I am. The breakthrough isn't the answer, it's the access. It unlocks the door to the throne room, to where God's presence is. God steps close when control steps down. Surrender brings presence before it brings provision. Okay, verse 10. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, here we go, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. If you serve others, then your darkest night, when there's no hope at all, the light of God is going to be so bright, and the glory and the breakthrough is going to come that it's going to seem like noonday. How many of you need that kind of breakthrough? I'm sorry, I'm getting a little excited about this. I don't know if y'all are excited about this enough. When you start living for others, it says when you spend yourself, spending costs something. Again, if you begin to sacrifice yourself for others, if you do that, that's when the breakthrough comes. Even when life is darkest, you won't even know it. Your light will become like the noonday. All right, verse 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You see, God doesn't always remove the dry places. He creates wells in them. He guides you to where life can be found. Rarely does God remove the desert, the dry place. He brings life in the desert. Some of you have been saying, God, change my circumstances, put me somewhere else, fix this situation. And he's saying, I just want to fix you. I just want to be with you. Because where I am, there's living water. I am the living water, the bread of life. Okay, here's where it gets real good for us as a group, as a community. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up old foundations. You will be called repair of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. Listen, where there's been devastation, where the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and destroy, he says, I have come to give life. Life abundantly. When a church surrenders itself and we focus on him and we focus on others, we'll be known as those who bring life to rebuild the city. The ancient faith of those that have come before us will be rebuilt. The former foundations on God will be reestablished. The walls of protection against the enemy that have been lowered will be rebuilt. The homes that have been destroyed by sin will be restored. The spirit flows where the flesh no longer blocks the channel. And I don't know about you, church, but I want to be a church that is known, that says when they see Heart Cry Chapel, those are the people that are rebuilding the walls. Those are the people that are reestablishing the foundations of faith and bringing life and wholeness and wellness. Fasting doesn't remove the desert. It makes them fruitful. Some of you are in a desert right now, and you need a breakthrough. You need God to move on your behalf. You've been doing everything you know. You've been swinging that dull axe. I think most of us know this, but I'm going to tell you how a lock works. You see, inside of this lock, there are pins that coincide with the teeth on this key. And I can fit a key in this lock, but if it's not the right key for this lock, it won't work. Why? Because the pins are not aligned. Friends, when we fast, we're submitting our bodies, our flesh under Him, our physical bodies. But when we serve others and we relinquish control, then our spiritual flesh comes under the alignment of the Spirit of God. And when those three things are aligned, alignment brings breakthrough. If you need a breakthrough in your life, if you need God to move on your behalf, all you have to do is come under alignment. It's surrender and alignment where the breakthrough comes. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your Spirit is here. I know that there are some of us in this room that we desperately need a breakthrough. We need your presence. God, I pray as we look forward to this fast together that this would be an opportunity for us to bring our lives under the full alignment of Christ, that our minds, our wills, our emotion, everything that is our soul, everything that is our spirit and our flesh, may it come under the alignment of Christ, not just so that we can have breakthrough in our own lives, but so, Lord, that our community, so that our church can experience the breakthrough of your Spirit, that we can be the spring of life, of water in a desert. So, Lord, we come to you and we surrender everything we have and we lay it at your feet today. We make you the center of our life. We relinquish control. In Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna sing and I'm gonna invite you to stand with us and we're gonna open our altars. And if you just wanna come spend some time while we're singing and come and spend some time with Jesus, you are welcome to do so. But let's worship the Lord this morning.